This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine every Saturday 10 till 12.
Tiernan Brady's joining us this morning from Sydney. He's over the phone. We'll be talking about what's happening with marriage equality. Good morning to you, Tiernan.
Morning, Cass. Thanks for having us.
Oh, thank you for getting out of bed. It's very cold here in Melbourne this morning.
Oh, I bet it isn't in Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. I bet it's quite warm there.
It's never cold for me here, no matter what temperature it is. Yeah. People are wearing coats and I think they're nuts.
Is it because you're closer to Canberra, you can feel the fireworks or something?
Oh, that could be definitely it this week. I think most of the fireworks appear to have happened in a casino in Sydney, so...
Yeah, so what's your take on all of that? Do you know what's going on behind the scenes? Is there a group who are actually drafting a bill and getting ready to move on this issue?
Look, we've worked very closely with all the parties for the last number of months.
Of course, you're a non-partisan group, aren't you?
Yeah, because, ultimately, one of the things that we think hold very dear is, this shouldn't be a party political issue. This should be something that has support right across every party. I mean, you could see that in Germany yesterday where, two-thirds of the parliament voted, in favour of marriage equality, in a painless moment, which cost nobody anything. And those votes came from, every single party. And that's the way it should be because, of course, not alone are there LGBTI people in every political party, but, there are parents and friends and colleagues of LGBTI people in every party. And we keep saying this as we've worked with all the parties, this shouldn't be party political. This should be a moment that brings parties together, that rises above the fray of it. And, actually, Angela Merkel, I thought, was really good when she said, put it really well. She says, this is a moment of great social cohesion and peace. And I think that's something perhaps, we need to say a lot more of because, marriage equality shouldn't be seen as divisive because, of course, it's not. It's a moment when the country comes together.
That's
it's
right.
The moment
and for the sake of our fellow citizens and each other and family well-being and justice and basic justice.
Absolutely, Bronwyn. And I think there are those opponents out there who like to paint this as divisive and they like to paint it as a very angry debate, which, of course, like all debates, there are moments of that, but they try to paint that that's what it's all about. And, of course, it's not. It's about removing the last impediment, the last legal impediment that tells LGBTI people you're not the same as the rest of us.
I don't think Christopher Pyne did the cause any favours, though, by wrapping it up in this triumphalism the whole bigger message that he was trying to give, which was, we moderates, we're out in first force, we're going to smack those conservatives around, they're a dying breed, we've kept the faith, George Brandis and I, all this sort of stuff. And so marriage equality gets kind of pulled in with all of that kind of political rubbish, which is what you're talking about, that factional stuff, basically, didn't do anybody any favours, did it?
No, I think in fairness it was, party politics, as happens, and it's a really good example of, how it becomes very unhelpful as you're trying to find space. We talk to Liberals and Nationals, we talk to Greens and Labour and NXT all the time, and for a conservative, there's no reason not to consider this as a conservative issue. This is about, lifelong, loving, committed relationships. It's about strong family values and strong family bonds and stronger communities. And those sound, like pretty conservative values. So, it's always about reaching out. And ever since the plebiscite was voted down, we tried to work closely with all of them, especially in the run-up to the Senate inquiry. And I think, it's worth pointing out for everybody. I mean, the Senate inquiry was a moment that proved parties can come together and can set forward a path.
Of course they can.
Tin, do you think this issue is actually hurting the Prime Minister politically?
Yeah, I think it is, and because we've seen poll after poll, and we've extensively done constituency polls as well, you know, not just where we ask people, are you in favour of marriage equality? Because in a way, that debate's over. Australia is for marriage equality. Mm. It has been in every poll for the last 12 years.
Yes, well, it's 70-plus percent, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing we also poll is, you know, will you be less likely to vote for Liberal MPs and National MPs if the government don't deal with this issue? And every poll we've done shows that a significant chunk of Liberal voters are telling
they
us.
They just see it as ineptitude. They package it also in with a whole lot of other issues that, you know, they say, oh, you're not resolving this, you're not resolving the debt, you're not resolving that, you can't even resolve marriage equality. How hopeless are you?
Well, and the other thing, I think you're totally right, Brahman, and the other thing that goes to this is I think marriage equality has actually, as an issue, become almost a broader symbol of values, which is, you know, anyone under the age of 45, you know, when they see a party that doesn't believe in marriage equality, they see a party that has utterly alien values to them because, of course, they've all grown up knowing LGBTI people.
Absolutely.
So it's not an issue, it's a person. And it's very hard to reconcile that when you hear a party that doesn't like your cousin.
And that's exactly what happened with Merkel. I mean, once she actually met a lesbian couple who had a normal family, I think the children were described as being well-fed, well-looked after, and very happy and healthy. Well, why wouldn't they be? I mean, really.
At the
end of the day, it's about parenting. It's not about gender or sexuality.
No, that's right. I think in the general public, we've seen that kind of transition over time, you know, where, you know, grandparents find out that one of their grandkids is gay and their kind of long-held sort of views, sometimes religious, sometimes, you know, just social, go, but I love my grandchild, you know, and they're a nice person and a great person. And then they kind of evolve into a much deeper understanding of the issue. And that's been the journey society's on. And it's unbelievable. I mean, very occasionally you hear these stories of families, you know, that are taking a really, really hard line. It's absolutely heartbreaking. And for the government to be siding with that is just horrendous for people.
Yes, it is.
I think at the heart of this, there's something that, you know, every listener and every one of us needs to, you know, remind ourselves of. I think sometimes we can all feel individually quite powerless, but we're not. The story of Angela Merkel is the story of how one couple changed the Chancellor of Germany's mind.
Amazing.
Absolutely. You're great, amazing. Great point.
I'm going to be cynical now, you don't think that this is really a front for her actually finding a way forward through what was a politically difficult situation for her. She's got a national election in a couple of months' time. She needs to get the barnacles out of the way, a bit like Tony Abbott did. And so get this out of the way and get on with fighting an election rather than fighting a range of social issues that were divisive in her community.
Oh, you're awful, Tass. You're just a horrible, cynical person.
I'm just relaying a bit of commentary that I've read.
I liked Tiemann's version of the story better, thank you. It was more human.
I do think as well, though, there's truth in both sides, because there is a bit that we face here. Rip the bandage off. There's no reason for this to be a political issue, and there's no doubt, as you put it, it's a barnacle. And you know, it's a barnacle that has one of the easiest fixes going. You pass a vote. There's a majority in Parliament. It will go through. And I think what we've seen everywhere, which we haven't seen here yet, is, you know, Conservative leaders like David Cameron and the Prime Minister in England, Enda Kenny, the Taoiseach in Ireland, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor, Germany, John Keyes in New Zealand, all were the people that triggered this happening. And
it doesn't hurt any of them politically. No.
In fact, it enhances them because, you know, it brings people together and people see it for what it is, a solution, which people want politics to be about.
Tiernan, do you think that there would be members of the government who would be prepared to cross the floor on this issue?
Well,
there's a lot of talk about it. I mean, there was a bit of talk that I read yesterday that there might be a couple who will, and some of them have been named. But do you think there's truth in that? Or will they operate as a block at the end of the day?
Well, I think there's definitely truth in that. I think there's one or two that have actually said it publicly over the last few months. So we know that's there. And we know that there's an awful lot of supporters who feel really uncomfortable that the issue can't get to a vote on the floor within Parliament. Mm. You know, so it's about all the time working, which we're trying to do both behind the scenes and publicly with the political parties, to go, well, you know, there are pathways here. The Senate inquiry sets it out. Mm. You know, this is there's a real bill that can produce, or the real pathways that can produce a bill that creates the right balances, introducing marriage equality, and reassuring that, you know, shrinking minority in Australia who genuinely do have questions about this. But the one thing we have to always know, and we always keep telling MPs, is in every country in the world where this has happened, that minority radically gets smaller as soon as marriage equality happens, because they see once marriage equality is up and running, it didn't bring any of the worries or threats that
they'll move over to some other conservative social issue and kind of put there. We've lost that one, but and, you know, let's move on.
And Tin, and I have to say, you know, you and your organisation need to be congratulated for the work that you're doing. I know that you're currently doing a roadshow and running town hall style meetings all over the country. They have been very influential in shifting attitudes, because at the end of the day, we know what really works is that very personal approach. You know, you see somebody, you talk to them, you engage them, and you realize actually they're not a bad person. They're a human being like myself.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about some of your experiences. We haven't got a lot of time, but just a little bit about some of your experiences. The highlights.
I think what we found, well, the highlights are the amazing turnouts. You know, when you're in Armidale and Tamworth, the home of Barnaby Joyce, and you have packed rooms, you know, when you head for Western Australia, and they literally have to move you to a different, you know, function area because it's just not big enough. There are people in every community out there, and I think my experience of this is that, you know, they've been out there going, there's nothing I can do to make this happen, when of course there is. They are so powerful as individuals when they tell their stories. And allowing people to see that power and demystifying talking to your MP, you know, people do worry about it going, I couldn't talk to my MP, I'm not an expert in the law. You don't have to be. You have to tell your story. That's what Angela Merkel told us. It's what David Cameron told us. It's what so many MPs in Australia have told us that was the moment they changed. And what I loved about the town halls, apart from the wonderful, positive, respectful energy that flows from them, they really are amazing events, is that people suddenly realize, I can reach out and phone my MP. And they realize that actually, not alone is that just a small chink in the chink in making it happen. Ultimately, it's the one thing that will definitely make it happen. The amount of MPs I've met, not just in Ireland and Australia, but in England and America, and they always tell you the same thing. They always tell you the story about when they became a supporter, and it has, without any exception that I can remember, been about a human story they were told by a mother, by an LGBTI couple, by an uncle who came into them and just said, this is about Mark.
It's about my family.
And Margaret.
Look, it's been an amazing journey, hasn't it? I can remember going to the launch of in Melbourne in about 2004, 2005. We're lucky to scrape together half a dozen people and one camera. So what a journey. It's fantastic.
Amazing. Tina, we've run out of time, but I really appreciate your time this morning. When you're next in Melbourne, we'd love to see you in the studio and we can have a longer conversation on there about of your experiences. Keep up the great work.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.